This is the Old Trailblazer Broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis again, riding out on old Dan. Come on, Dan, let's go. We got to get a getting. I'm happy to be back with you folks at this time. We're bringing you a series of studies on demon possession, and we're looking at Satan and his kingdom. These are very interesting studies, I believe, and I mentioned in a study or two past that if we have any response, anybody interested, we'll put these in print and be glad to send them to you free and postpaid. Also, I mentioned a book that we have in the bookstore here entitled The Spirit World by Clarence Larkin, and it's the best I've ever found on the end time and the spirit world and demon possession and those things, and I'll be glad to put it on your credit card and mail it to you. And if you don't appreciate it, don't like it, let me know. I'll give you money back. So that's a pretty good offer, isn't it? Now, that brings us today, at this time, is Satan and his kingdom, and we're thinking about that he's called the God of this world. World here means age, and we read the God of this age. As God of this age, he's being worshipped. Did you know Satan is being worshipped? Let me ask you, are you worshipping the Lord Jehovah God, or are you worshipping Satan? Don't get mad with me. Come on now, let's listen. There's every reason to believe that the devil has and does receive far more directly personal worship than the average individual would ever imagine. It would literally be amazing to you to know how few people worship the Lord Jesus and Jehovah God the Father today. Now, let me ask you this question. Folks ask me this question. How may I know that I'm worshiping Satan instead of God or the Lord Jesus Christ? I go to church every Sunday. I sing. I take part in the public worship. Am I worshiping God or Satan? All right, now listen. Here's the way you can judge. Now, pick up your ears and listen. The individual who seeks all his pleasures in and fixes all of his heartfelt hopes upon this present age over which Satan presides, and that individual who uses his best endeavors by means of various fleshly and intellectual occupation and delights, and who uses countless ways of killing time which Satan has provided for the purpose of keeping his thoughts from ever wandering into that age to come or thinking about his soul welfare, that individual is worshiping Satan. Now, my friend, that's the truth. That's God's truth. You may do this under the religious cover as a preacher, Bible teacher, layman, or a member of no church at all. Satan doesn't care what camouflage you move around under. No, just so he can keep your mind occupied, blinded, taken up with fleshly delights, which may vary, religious or otherwise. This means that you're worshiping Satan. You hear a fellow say, well, I've got to have some pleasure. We just got to have some pleasure. I've got to go to this, and I've got to go to that, and I've got to do that. And I've heard preachers say, well, I've got to have a little time to myself, have a little pleasure. You know I'm nervous, and I have to get out of the company and take a ride out in the country and do those things. Satan does everything in the world to kill your time so that your mind and soul is not reflecting upon Christ or on your condition, and therefore he keeps you blinded. Now, that's the truth, my friend. You're worshiping Satan. Do you know that 95% of our preachers are Satan worshipers? That'll startle you, doesn't it? You may even be a Bible scholar, so-called, but you find your pastimes and pleasures in some phase of this world. Therefore, Satan is your God. Satan is the God of this religious world. And the religious world as a whole worships Satan. Multitudes do it in the name of Jesus. And other multitudes do it in the name of church membership, or in the name of a program, in the name of some doctrine. Or they do it in the name of speaking in tongues. Now, I'm going into that thing one day. Hold your seat. Don't get frightened. Don't run around. Don't turn the dial. Listen. You may ask the question, how can you detect when an individual is worshiping Jehovah God? Well, he will manifest such worship in his conversation and in his attitude. He'll be talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, not Jesus. I'm so tired of that Jesus movement, my friend. It makes me sick. Everything, I go in a grocery store and a little clerk says, have a Jesus day, sir. Have a Jesus day. I look out on the street, there's a T-shirt on the back. Have a Jesus day. That's abomination, my friend, in the worst degree. No, not Jesus, but the Lord Jesus. And listen, that individual would not be praising Jesus. that man or woman who's worshiping the Lord, praising the Lord, but he'd be praising the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll love to talk to you about the blood. Don't you love to talk about the blood, my friend? The blood redemption, the sacrifice, the sin offering. God's child will be delighted in hearing how other wicked, hell-deserving sinners come to know the Lord and how the Lord saved them. And he'll not be embarrassed, no. They can ask him any question they want to know, how you got saved, just as clear as a bell. Oh, listen, the Bible tells us, always be ready to give an account of the hope that we have within us. Can you do that? My friend, this is serious business we're talking about. This is not child's play. No, sir, this is not child's play. Let me just offer you a little book that we have here called Play in Church. Pastor Shelton wrote many years ago, and we've been offering it, and we've got a great response from it. Play in Church, a little booklet. It'll shed a lot of light on your spiritual condition. Now, they can ask you any question they want to, how you got saved, and you're just as clear as a bell. God's child is clear as a bell. You're not embarrassed. You don't have to jump up and leave to get away from no. You'll always be delighted in the sacrifice. Never grow tired of hearing someone talk about how Christ died for sinners. The individual who does not know the Lord does not delight in the sacrifice. And when someone continues to talk about the sacrifice around him, it comes embarrassing-like. You can detect it at once that he's a worshiper of Satan, though he may be a preacher in the pulpit, a deacon in the pew, or even a drunkard in the gutter. It makes no difference. So Satan is the god of this world, the god of this age. Now, brother, hold your seat. We're going to jump a creek. Behind every idol is a demon spirit that the individual worships. Whether the idol is a goddess, a faith, or image, these so-called present-day high-powered evangelists, and you've seen them and heard them, or faith healers who are talking about faith image, are worshiping demon spirits. That's demon worship to the nth degree, pure and simple. And we'll go into that a little later in another study. Now, we have seen the Bible tells us that Satan is a prince of this world, and he rules it through his, I call it, lieutenants and princes and demon spirit. Then we saw how he is the god of this world, the god of this inhabited earth, and every order of organized humanity. And he keeps them under his control, as the Apostle Paul tells us there in 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, by keeping their minds blinded. Then 1 John 5 tells us, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, literally in the lap of the wicked one. Paul, writing to Timothy, tells us that he keeps them under subjection to him by holding them captive. 2 Timothy 2:26. Now just hold that. We'll come back to it in a little while. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Therefore, every individual out of Christ is blinded by Satan. He is. He can't see, doesn't understand the gospel, lies asleep in the lap of Satan, and is held captive as Satan at his will. Now, my friend, this picture is a terrible picture. But this individual looks like every other man and woman you talk about. It's not a don't have horns on. And no, this is, I'm talking about a person that worships Satan. They go to church just like you and I do. They sit in the pew, sing in the choir. But if they don't know the Lord, if they're not rooted and grounded in Christ, listen, Satan will allow folks to become religious and do all their religious works under the name of Jesus and never bother you in any way as long as he can keep you blinded, spiritually blinded, going out into eternity and don't know it. Oh, what a sad case, my friend. Then, look again in Ephesians 2:2. He is spoken of as the prince of the power of the air. Prince of the power of the air. As we said, the word prince here means ruler. And the expression, the power of the air, could be translated the heavenlies. This gives us some idea of the scope and the enormousness of his kingdom. I see no reason why we should restrict Satan's territory just to the atmosphere, or even to the stratosphere, or the ionosphere. There's no doubt but his kingdom reaches the photosphere, that is, to the sun, or even to the whole solar system. The king of the air, no doubt, would include the immense space in which the planets move. And I'm going to offer this just as a suggestion, that the throne of the Prince Satan may be situated in the photosphere, and that is of the sun. Now you hold your seats. I'm not going off on a tangent here. No, I'm not crazy. No, I'm not. Go back and study your history of idolatry that originated with Nimrod in Babylon shortly after the flood, and you will find that they were sun worshipers. They worshiped the sun. Now look, all down through the ages, and even today, we have multitudes who worship directly or indirectly the sun. There grew up a vast system of religion centering around the sun and its worship. And now listen, there was a queen mother and the son of the sun god, which today has been cloaked with a covering of Christianity. And millions today worship the queen mother, behind which is Satan. They're giving worship to Satan, not to the Lord Jesus Christ. When Joshua led the children of Israel in battle against the inhabitants of Palestine, who were sun worshippers, worshiping the god of Ashtaroth, the Lord God of heaven caused the sun not to go down for a whole day. This was to show his power over Satan as their god. Satan's power is limited, and can be exercised only at the will of Jehovah God. We see in Job in the first chapter that Satan had power over lightning, hail, wind, and so forth. And when you hear folks minimize the power of Satan, saying, oh, Satan is just a little tin soldier, no, it shows that they're blinded and know nothing about the enemy we were up against. And I know he has the whole world deceived, blinded. It's a kingdom of darkness, and they do not know that they're being herded like cattle to the slaughter and unto hell by the wholesale and retail under religious covering. Oh, my friend, I hope you pay attention. Would you just pay attention? We have several more of these studies, and they get deeper and deeper and deeper as we go along. And I know that it's not popular. I know you don't hear it. I know you don't read it. But, my friend, I'm bringing you what the Lord says. I'm bringing you God's Word. I'm bringing you what we have learned from experience, how that Satan is a roaring lion going about seeking to devour all whom he can. And, my friend, he's a prince in power. Prince and power of this world, what authority he has over the demons and demon spirits, and that's who you and I battle. Day by day we have to battle him, and we can't win. Only by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God can we win. And we're just going out. But one day, we know from one day, from reading God's word, one day he'll be chained and cast into the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. And I like to think about the scripture that says an angel, the lone angel, bound him with the Lord's chain. He didn't have to send a big angel, so to speak. He just sent that lone angel, that little angel, to show his power, show the power of God against Satan. My friend, we can't win. We have to plead the blood. Plead the blood. Are your sins under the blood? Mine are. The old Trailblazer's sins are under the blood. Washed away. Clean as a whistle, as we used to say. No sign, no sin. This is the old Trailblazer broadcast, and I'm coming down to the close. Let me give you my mailing address. Remind you of that book offer once again. It was Spirit World by Clarence Larkin. Remember my mailing address? It's Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my website, radiomissions.org. Go there and you'll find out much more information about Radio Missions and the Old Trailblazer. Goodbye and God bless you.